Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth Radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth Radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea, and although we are not live today, we are so close to live, we might as well be. Today is June the 11th, 2020. I know this because tomorrow is my older daughter's birthday, and it's all I've been hearing about for the last 2 weeks. We've been having a running countdown in the Boldea house. So she's going to be six. She's very excited. And so now I know that today is the 11th. Before we get started today, there is a bit of housekeeping that needs doing. You know what they say, times is what times is. So we are pleased to announce a new partnership with a new sponsor to the show that I'm very excited about. It's, well, actually, there's two sponsors that have come on board. I know, exciting, isn't it? The first is don'tbearube.com. It's more of a partnership than a sponsor because for a small recurring fee, and it's a monthly fee of $150, you will receive a call with a recorded message from yours truly every morning saying, "Don't be a rube." For just pennies a minute, you too can be reminded not to be a rube. Act now, limited robocalls per morning available. And our second new sponsor is Brave Undies. And you can find them at braveundies.com. If you want to seem brave, even if you lose control of your bodily functions and soil yourself due to the constant panic injected into your cerebellum by propagandists, well, Brave Undies are a lifesaver. They only come in one color, which is brown, made of 100% cotton in the old U.S. of A. Braveundies.com, never let them see you scared again. Even if you are, it'll be your little secret. For only $69.99, you get one brand spanking new pair of Brave Undies as long as you type in "fleecing the flock" at checkout. Free first class shipping on all orders within the continental United States. Alaska and Hawaii pay extra because they are further away. Now, if you haven't gotten a clue yet, this was all in jest. I promised you a little levity last week. It was a sort of a downer of a program, wasn't it? But I think it was necessary because you need to understand what's coming. And you need to understand where we are. And you need to understand how you can best prepare in the long term as well as the short term. After that intro, unfortunately, it's probably the end of levity for the next, 56 or so minutes. Because even though the violence has calmed down, things have not gotten any better. We are witnessing the untethering of a nation from its moorings. We are witnessing the attempted destruction of a nation's history, because if a nation has no past, then you can shape its future however you want. This past week, apparently George Floyd got a royal funeral. I counted six or seven funerals. I don't know. I stopped counting. Sad that the man died. Sad the way he died. Sad all around. But when we begin sainting people just because they died in police custody and sort of try to whitewash their past, it serves no one. Now, I'm sure that if you are an avid watcher of the television, you saw members of Congress attempting to, how shall I put it, patronize the African-American community. They were wearing these Kente scarves or Kente scarves. And look, you know, I go against the flow most of the time. So now everyone's complaining that Nancy and Chuck and Jerry, they put on those scarves and kneeled, and it wasn't, it was just pandering is what it was. But see, from my perspective, I just think they didn't take it far enough. Imagine if Jerry Nadler showed up, you know, with cornrows. And imagine if Nancy Pelosi showed up with a lip gauge. And Chuck Schumer showed up in full Maasai warrior regalia with the red robes and the spear. Because if you're going to pander, you can't just, you know, half measure it. You've got a full Monty the thing. So, seriously, though, I watched that, and I didn't know whether I should laugh or cry or do both at the same time. Even apolitical people can see the pandering, and they're disgusted by it. Unbelievable what's going on in this nation. And the thing that troubles me and the thing that upsets me is that the other side is either too scared or too indifferent to speak up. They're either too scared are too indifferent to say anything about what's going on. And we see how when there's no pushback, we see how when there's no opposition, they only grow more emboldened in what they're doing. Have you heard about what's going on in Seattle, perchance? We're going to get into that today. But if you want a little foresight, if you want to understand what may just happen within the next month or so. Imagine a team of any sport, whether basketball or football or, I don't know, hockey, baseball even, just celebrating a victory before the opposing team even took the field. That's what's happening right now. And if you'll stick with me for a few minutes, I'll try to explain why I think that the next few weeks are going to be very telling regarding this nation and its future, whether we still have a little time or this is it. Because the other side is currently just orgasmically celebrating, and it's a premature celebration. Because the other side hasn't done a thing to oppose them. Look, I can't say that I know a lot of people, but I know enough to understand the dynamics of what's happening in this nation. And there's a lot of guys sitting in their garage just loading brass and stacking clips and waiting. There's a lot of guys that are former military that took an oath, and they took that oath for life to defend this nation against all enemies, whether foreign or domestic. And these guys haven't showed up on the field yet. Because, see, there's a difference between rage violence and harness ability to do violence. What you're seeing right now with the rock throwing and the trying to shoot a gun sideways with one hand while you're trying to hold up your pants with the other, I understand you think you're all gangsta, but kid, that's the minor leagues. We're talking about guys who served in the military. We're talking about guys that can sweep a neighborhood in under 30 minutes professionally. We're talking about guys that aren't excited about beating up little old women. But by the same token, they're not going to choke in a clutch. We're talking about guys that go to the range religiously. And since they haven't been able to go to church for the last 3 months, guess where they've spent more time than ever? Yep, shooting stuff. So if you think this is the way it ends, with a bunch of just vitamin D deficient, AIDS-ridden, sycophantic half-tards saying that this is our city and you need to defund the police and open all the jails and give us pizza and weed. If you think that this is how it ends, please understand that there will come a point in this nation when the silent majority, and I guarantee you there is a silent majority, perhaps in every state save for, well, Southern California, because in Northern California, guaranteed, there's a lot of boys that stocked up on brass for many years. They just clean their guns like you get out of bed. It's mechanical to them. It's just muscle memory. And all those people have a very heightened ability to visit violence upon other human beings. However, it is harnessed, it is contained. They don't give in to rage. They don't hop around on burning cars and punch old ladies in the face. But if they see that this is getting out of hand, and we're getting close to that point, if they see that law enforcement is not enforcing the law, if they see that elected officials are no longer representing the electorate, if they see that this thing begins to metastasize and grow in violence and demands and all this other nonsense, then they're going to go to work. And when these boys go to work, you're going to need a lot of body bags, kid. And this nation will never be the same again. I guarantee it. Even if there was no prophecy about America burning and about the Russians attacking and about internal revolution, even if you looked at it from a purely reasonable point of view, if you looked at the situation as a whole without implicit or explicit bias, you would come to this conclusion. If they keep pushing the envelope and the other team takes the field, this nation will never be the same again, no matter how you cut it. Because they're not going to be about looting and they're not going to be about burning buildings. They're going to be about shutting this down as quickly as possible. And the only way to do that is to start dropping bodies. And I'm not talking about a handful. So hopefully the other side doesn't get what they're hoping for. Hopefully the guys that are loading brass will keep on loading brass without actually having to lock and cock. Because if they do, the game has changed. It's done. That's it. There's no going back from it. And this thing that we call hate that has metastasized will explode in ferocity and will become so virulent that there will be no putting this nation back together. As someone who grew up in a communist country, I've noticed what's been happening for the last few days, and it's profoundly upsetting. If you've ever been to a former communist country or a former Eastern Bloc country, you may have wondered why everything seems so gray and grim. If you didn't do so consciously, I guarantee you subconsciously, you would have noticed that even flowers seem to have the color and the vitality leached out of them. You go into a place like Romania back in the early 90s, or you go into a place like Croatia, and everything is just dull and gray, and you look in people's eyes, and there's no spark of life there. For all intents and purposes, these people are just zombies going about their lives just waiting to die. There are no statues in the parks. There are no interesting architectural feats. Everything is big and blocky and meant for, how shall I put it in terms that today's socialism-loving American might understand? Everything was made for equality. Everyone, and I mean everyone, including the squirrels, were equally miserable. And it didn't come to that overnight. Because even in a place like Romania, there was artists and art. There were sculptors and musicians. There was beauty. But the first thing they did when communism rose to power in Romania and in Croatia and in Russia and everywhere else is they took everything that was beautiful. They took everything that brought joy. They took everything that brought a smile. And they destroyed it. Because in what some people in this country now really want to implement, you shouldn't have joy. You can't. You're not allowed. Because if you're smiling and the person next to you isn't, well, the reason you're smiling is because of your privilege. And so you need to check your privilege and stop smiling because you're upsetting the person next to you who isn't. Understand what is happening to your country. And stop staring at your navel waiting for the rapture. Because the rapture won't come until things get a lot worse in this country and the world. Why is everyone so silent? Why are we so afraid of pointing out that the emperor has no clothes? Why are we shrinking back and cowering in fear because of some syphilitic 20-something that can't even hold a rock because his wrist is too limp? Is this what we've become as a nation? Because if it is, then somebody needs to declare time of death. I'm disgusted by what I'm seeing, and the thing that I'm disgusted most about is that spiritual leaders of this nation are throwing fuel on the fire. They're giving legitimacy to terrorists because that is who releases a list of demands. Either you're a terrorist or you're a lunatic. Terrorists release demand letters. Lunatics release manifestos. One or the other, still dangerous, still needs to get put down. You want a functioning society. That is, if you want a functioning nation. Because we're going to get into what's happening in Seattle. And you know what? If it wasn't so tragic, it would be hilarious. Because all of these sycophantic lickspittles got exactly what they wanted. And guess what's happening in their little slice of utopia? The 1, 2, 3, 4 people with the guns are now going around asking for protection money. It's a racket. That whole utopian dream of having our civilization and everyone holding hands and singing kumbaya. If only there was no police. If there was no police, we'd all live in peace. Well, guess what? In Little Mogadishu in downtown Seattle, there's no police. But the guys with the guns, the guys that aren't squeamish about doing violence, they're now knocking on doors going, if you don't want a broken leg, you better pay up. That's what's happening. So all you residents of Little Mogadishu, being all inspired to revolt against the man, you put up signs, you are leaving the USA. How's it going for you? Because you know what? Eventually, you're going to run out of nuts to give the squirrels. Eventually, you're going to run out of money, and guess what's going to happen then? They're going to start breaking things. And I'm not talking about candy dishes, and I'm not talking about ceramics. Maybe they start with the finger. Maybe they start with the leg. But see, if you can no longer afford to pay, then you can no longer afford to pay. And so you take the pain. That's the way it goes. Because where there is no law, there is anarchy. And this is what even elected officials are encouraging and supporting. It's going to be mob rule. You're not going to have the police to go to and go, that guy robbed me. Because the guy that robbed you is most likely the authority in your neighborhood. So who are you going to go to? Who are you going to call? When somebody knocks on your door and going, all right, the monthly fee for you to be protected by us from us is what? $150, $250. Because if you're willing to pay the $150, guess what? 3 weeks later, it'll be two, then $250. Because they need to find that place where you can no longer pay. See, the fact that you can afford the $150 means you can likely afford the two. So criminals are seeing an opportunity to victimize their neighborhoods. And elected officials are saying that this is the next best thing to slice bread. See, do you understand now why I think that the silent majority is not going to be silent for much longer? Because once elected officials fall in line and provide cover and are in league with criminality, then the average citizen has one of two choices. He either shuts up and takes it till the light goes out of his eyes, till he's nothing more than a zombie without the taste for human flesh, or he fights back. And the thing that no one's taking into account is that there are a lot of people, both white and black and brown, who haven't had such an easy go of it the last few months. They've lost their jobs. They've lost their businesses. They were told by elected officials that if they dared play with their children in the park, they were tantamount to murderers. And these people aren't blind. Watching their televisions, and seeing the Ute of America burning and looting and killing and stealing and destroying. And while they're watching this going on in front of their television, pontificating politicians and sanctimonious Hollywood stars are telling them, sitting there, watching what's going on, that they are racist. Even though their best friend might be black and every Saturday they go out for beer, even though they've never harbored a negative thought about somebody just because of their skin color, day in and day out, these people are being told that they are the problem in America. They are irredeemable. They are deplorable. They are what's wrong with humanity. And they begin to think to themselves, I've been sitting in my house for 3.5 months and I've run out of food. I lost my job. There's no more unemployment. My kids are starving. And the Ute of America is looting Louis Vuitton, Rolex, and Gucci. And that preening homosexual on CNN is telling me that I am the problem, that I am the racist, that I need to be silenced. And with every passing minute, the resentment builds up just a little more and it becomes a bile in their gut. And kids, let me tell you, when that powder keg goes off, you don't want to be anywhere near it. Because see, the media has an agenda, as do politicians, as do the Hollywood elite. And they're so blinded by hate that they don't care what remains at the end of this as long as the big orange bad man is gone. Do you understand how dangerous these people are? So even though the violence seems to have calmed down from one week to the other, what goes on over the next 3 weeks or so will determine whether we got, you know, another couple years or another year. I told you what, 2 weeks ago. I think that charging the officer with murder 2 instead of murder 3 was a recipe for disaster because there's not enough evidence to convict on a murder 2. And so you're going to have a repeat of the Rodney King riots on steroids. And I don't know how many times someone is willing to rebuild a business just to see it get burnt down and looted before they throw their hands up and go, this isn't worth it. I'm not doing this anymore. I love my neighbors and I love my neighborhood and I love my city and all that jazz. But you know what? Just not worth it. So the people that need help most will get left out in the cold because of the actions of some in their own neighborhood. That's the reality of it. Because if the businesses leave and the police leave, all you have is an inner city full of predators and prey. Because I just read an article, and give me a second while I sip my delicious beverage. that all the, you know, socially engineering rich folk of San Francisco are leaving in droves. See, they have brought this upon the nation. It is they who wanted this dystopian ideal. And now that they see what they've done with their own hands, because they can afford to do it, they're running with their tails tucked between their legs. It is an exodus of the upwardly mobile, the wealthy, the famous, and socially influencing from San Francisco, from LA, from all of these meccas of inclusivity, of diversity. Once it's all, you know, once the streets are full of feces and the gutters run yellow with urine, it's time to go. And these same people will take their ideology, because they don't learn. They never learn. The only way that they will learn is if they're put down. I'm not talking about killed. Because, oh, he's advocating violence. No, I'm advocating a show of force. Because in their heart, they are cowards. Have you seen the videos of these kids? I know a lot of women that could take most of those boys and beat the stuffing out of them, never mind men. But there's no resistance to their idiocy. No one's going, hey, stop it, stupid. Because we have to be understanding. You know what? Buildings are worth less than lives. Their lives are worth more than buildings. Tell that to the father who had every penny invested in his business, and he's sifting through ashes right now. Stop with the moral preening, please. Be a realist for once and realize what's happening. And be angry at who you're supposed to be angry at. Be angry at those fossils on television lying to you every single day and night. And the only thing that you can do is stop watching them. Stop giving them your money. Make them broke. That's the only thing they understand. But that's sort of a long-term plan. Right now, in the short term, if this thing doesn't get shut down, there is no long-term plan. Let's just put it out there. So this is what is happening in Seattle. Yes, Seattle, Washington. When they don't have rain, they have terrorists. So, you know, there's that. Protesters who are part of a wave of unrest across the country. Look, in the wake of the death of George Floyd, look, they are using the death of this man as an excuse. Let's just throw that out there too. At the hands of the Minneapolis police on Monday, took over city blocks in Seattle, set up barricades, and some have implied on social media that they will use armed guards to secure their occupation. Let that sink in. This isn't happening in Kenya. This isn't happening in Mogadishu. This isn't happening in Pakistan. This is happening in Seattle, Washington, of these United States. This is what socialist thinking begets ya. This is what electing socialist officials begets ya. But you know what? Nobody's going to learn a lesson. The people hunkered down in Seattle have dubbed it Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, with a tagline, "To free Capitol Hill," according to Twitter posts and a Capitol Hill Seattle blog website, which detailed the development. The first night in the so-called Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone that has formed in the wake of police giving up the week-long blockade of the Erst precinct. And again, why is the police running scared of these sort of people? Look, say what you will. Even if you hate them, you know that Donald Trump's right about this one. Sorry, it's just the way it is. If you can't control an uprising in your city, then it will be controlled for you. Oh, mercy. The night brought tense moments, but compared to the previous week of blast balls and clouds of gas and pepper spray, Pike Pine was calm, if not quiet. The county sheriff's helicopter stayed circling overhead until midnight, providing observations to SPD command on the ground and often drowning out speeches below. The only major reported conflict came when a TV crew from the local Fox affiliate was temporarily chased from the scene and took up refuge in the nearby fire station. The surprise pullback of SPD riot police and National Guard troops came together quickly Monday afternoon after a day of hostility and hastily clearing out equipment, moving trucks, and reports of a mobile shredding unit at the building at 12th and Pine that is home to the East Precinct headquarters, as well as department office facilities. So basically, the terrorists are winning. That's what it is. I'm sorry, that's the truth of it. If you abandon a police precinct, then you're letting terrorists win. And that's what they are. They're no longer protesters. The next time, oh, they're peaceful protesters. Really? Try going into their imaginary zone. They're IDing people and beating the snot out of people and asking for payment. That is no longer a peaceful protest. I don't care what Don the homosexual lemon says. See, but this is the thing. They've gotten away with lying for so long that they think you can see something with your eyes, and if they tell you the contrary, you'll believe them over your own eyes. Why do you believe your lying eyes? Don't you believe your lying eyes? Do what we tell you. This is what we tell you. It's unbelievable. This is happening in America. And you know what? I still haven't gotten any apology letters from all those folks. Oh, I don't think this is ever going to happen here. I think you guys missed the mark. What say thee now? See, I even King James'd it for you. What say thee now? Whether this is it or not, I said last week, I don't know. The next month or so, 2 to 3 weeks, will be very telling. Because if the other team steps onto the chessboard, because the police apparently are clearing out of their own precincts, then he's going to get very, very bad. Especially if you live in a major city, especially if you live in one of these hot zones, it will get ridiculously bad. Because there are enough people in this country who are unwilling to watch it fall under their watch that will put up a fight. See, and they should have shut this down when it all started. But nobody listens to Mike. Remember, I told you a month ago, they need to shut this down now or it's going to get a lot worse. Nope, Let them express their frustration. I'm frustrated about a million things. Never once did I think about kicking in my neighbor's door or burning down his shed. It's not frustration, it's terrorism, insurrection, it's revolution. And elected officials are responsible for nipping it in the bud because their sworn duty is to protect the electorate. Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkan is being criticized for her response to the protests. And rightly so. What we are seeing now is an uprising. Oh, really? You're finally getting it? A rebellion of young people. Not just nationwide, but globally. Because young people were never taught that they earn their daily bread with the sweat of their brow. We've raised a generation of entitled little pigs who think that all they have to do is go ask mommy for the Range Rover keys or the Bentley keys so they can loot Gucci. And the fact that none of these people are getting prosecuted, the fact that none of them are spending time in jail, only emboldens them to repeat. If you live in a city where the district attorney in their grandiose wisdom decided that, hey, we're not going to prosecute looters and criminals, you should do your utmost, morning, noon, and night, to make sure that they're not reelected to that office. You should write letters. You should make your voice heard, because this is what these people do, and they're getting away with it. They're scrubbing this nation's history just because they pout and go, oh, I don't think this is fair. Since when is life supposed to be fair, you coddled simp? The fact that these people don't realize they have it better here than they would anywhere in the world frustrates me to no end. Because I know people, man, who swam rivers and risked getting shot by gunboats to get to this country. And a lot of them are here. They made it. They built something for their family. They bought homes. They started businesses. And they have neither the desire nor the intention of seeing it burnt to the ground. But people who were born here, who lived in this country from their birth, who were able to succeed at anything they wanted if only they applied themselves, think that socialism or communism is the better alternative. What we are seeing now is an uprising, a rebellion of young people, not just nationwide, but globally. District 3 representative and longtime Durkan critic Kshama Sawant said at the site of the protest, 2 years ago, there was a police contract up for the vote. It was a bad contract. It was a racist contract. Why? Why was it racist? It was going to roll back the limited accountability measures that were hard fought by the community members. And the community spoke with one voice and pleaded with Mayor Durkan and the city council, please vote no. What do you think happened? Sawant said in the blog report, I was the only no vote on the contract. Because normal law-abiding tax-paying citizens expect criminals to be punished no matter what their skin color is. If you haven't seen the video of the union president in New York speaking to the press, you should. Because he made a very good point. He said there's people saying they're afraid that their kids are not going to come home safe from school because they're going to get shot by police. And he said, this is not happening. It's just not happening. And the truth of it is that it's not. Look at the statistics. Don't believe me. Don't believe Anderson Cooper, Don Lemon, Tucker Carlson, or whoever. But look into the statistics for yourself. But hey, you know, Seattle's getting what Seattle wanted. Hope you enjoy. Now, again, these syphilitic little tweets or twits think that they've succeeded just because they put up a barrier and said, this is our city now. We make the law. Insane. And if the mayor is unwilling to send in SWAT and clear it out, sooner or later, the average citizen will take it upon himself to cut out this cancer. I know you're not seeing it yet. But there are a lot of things I told you would happen that you weren't seeing at the time. And guess what? They happening. It's profoundly sad what we're seeing. And it's profoundly sad that elected officials are allowing it to go on. Now, while all this was going on, the governor of Washington, one libertine man by the name of Jay Inslee, was asked about this little city within a city, this neighborhood of independent terrorists. He was asked about the takeover of part of downtown Seattle by radical leftists. And his answer was, that's news to me. So this is how much your elected officials care. This is how much they're looking out for your safety. This is how much they're looking out for your well-being. They've taken over part of a major city in the United States. There is no police presence. And within 24 hours, a man by the name of Raz Simone declared himself the police. Raz Simone, if you have not seen a picture of this newly minted officer of the law, is a Rastafarian type with a big old AK right across his chest. Raz is now armed with a gang and goes about beating up people. So welcome to the new America, kids. But yes, you know what? You bow down and prostrate yourself and wash looters' feet. You do that because that's the Christian thing to do, isn't it? Thank you, Joel Osteen. Look, sometimes I sit here and I wonder if we deserve to survive. I'm being honest with you. Because if natural selection did have its say, if we didn't have all the safety blankets and whatnot, a lot of these people that are causing the problems wouldn't be around. Natural selection would have taken care of this type of lunacy. But here we are. And decent people have been scared into silence. Because if they dare say anything, their place of employment gets bombarded. They get doxxed. Their houses get firebombed. So they'd rather just keep silent. But for how long and to what end? Remember what I told you about building resentment? Still building. And it's been joined by bitterness. And it's being fueled by an understandable feeling that what's playing out in this country right now isn't fair. There's no fairness, no justice to it. Law-abiding citizens are getting arrested for opening their businesses so they can stay afloat. Criminals, terrorists, arsonists, and looters aren't even being processed and they're being let go. This is what is happening in America. Still think it's the land of the free? Yeah. And how long did it take for all this to happen? What, 2 weeks? Three? Now, it's been building for a long time, and they've been putting the pieces in place for a long time, and people like myself and a few others have been warning about it for a long time. But the actual execution of it. But as always, they're not forward thinking enough to have contingency plans for the other team. See, in their planning, their assumption was that the silent majority would continue to be silent. They would bow, they would scrape, they would succumb, they would give in. They would embrace communism. And these soft, limp-wristed, feminine, asexual things pretending to be men would be our newly crowned leaders. And they would dictate who can do what, when they can do it, how they should do it, and for how long. They never counted for the fact that there are, I would guesstimate, given how many guns have made their way into American society, there's a good 30 million people in this country that felt that something was off. And they've planned for it. I hope there's more than 30 million that see what communism would be like and choose to reject it outright. I don't know. These are exciting times. I know one thing, and this is a certainty. If the other team decides to step onto the field, it will get very bloody, very quick. And this nation will never be the same again. It's still not going to, because all faith has been lost in every institution. The average citizen has realized that their elected officials are mocking them to their face. When you tell someone they can't go to church, but they can protest because doing one will make everyone sick, but doing the other is perfectly fine, then you've done it to yourself. You've revealed your hypocrisy. and only a fool would trust you again. So hey, we're never going to get back to normal. I'm hoping we still have a little time to enjoy some sun, hear some birds chirping, and watch some squirrels climbing trees. And with that, thank you all for listening. Thank you for being with us. May God bless you. May God keep you. Enjoy your weekend. I will go and enjoy mine, hopefully celebrate my daughter's birthday without any drama. And until next time, may God bless you. Gino, if you've got anything to say, it's all yours.
Yeah, it's amazing in this Capitol Hill autonomous zone in Seattle, the people say that you're leaving the U.S. and you're entering their zone. This reminds me of Jeremiah 51, 8 through 15. You know, it says that caterpillars will rise up and they will make a shout of war against her. And it also says God would have healed Babylon, but it wouldn't be healed. We are the literal, we are having the results of liberal college campuses, anti-God thought. We are seeing the results of anarchy that's unhinged. We're seeing the results of rebellion at historic levels. And it's like America's got seven different directions of troubles. Deuteronomy says if a wicked country will have seven wicked directions of trouble come to it. It will go one direction and flee in another direction. And it's just an incredible scenario. And Mike's right. We'll know in the next two or three weeks where this goes. People are tired of, I'm not even saying just liberal leaders. We're talking off the chart wicked leaders that have allowed literally businesses and business leaders to literally watch the dissolution of their business because they were pretty much told a lie. We have opened up Wisconsin for the last month. And we have not had none of the problems that our liberal governor and others said we would have. Our liberal governor, Evers, who's now flying the gay flag all over the state at DMVs and the Capitol, painted such a terrible picture that if we would not open up, Wisconsin would be marked with death and all these terrible statistics, and none of it has happened. I'll tell you what, it just shows you how much voting in good leaders matters. And I urge you, stand 2020 as a Christian to be able to support good, godly leaders, because the liberal Democrats and mayors, Lightfoot in Chicago and Minneapolis and New York and Cuomo, all these leaders should be replaced. Thank you so much for listening to the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Baldia.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast.